y'all, Maureen here to talk to you about today's episode sponsor, Audible. The three of us are bookworms, so you can imagine how excited we were by this sponsorship. Audible has a massive selection and is the perfect companion for long commutes, doing dishes, and generally dismantling systemic oppression. Head to audibletrial.com/fatchat for a 30-day trial and a free download. Enjoy!
Hey, it's Fat Chat! Join us as we demystify the fat experience through discussions of sex,
art,
swimwear,
and each other. We try to keep it light, but it can definitely get heavy.
So come with us!
What up, podcast babies? This is Jesse Oliver.
I'm Maureen Smith.
And I'm Makita Loney.
And welcome back!
We're back!
Yay!
We needed that break.
We did.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. How were your holidays?
They were.
Yeah, honestly, they were for me, too.
They were for me, too.
And they happened.
Yeah. They happened. They're done.
God. I used to love the holidays. I said multiple times to my boyfriend this holiday season, I was just like, do I hate Christmas?
It's hard when you're a working musician.
You know, honestly, it wasn't music stuff. It was navigating family stuff that I was like, oof. Do I hate this? I think I hate this time of year.
Yeah. There's a great Kacey Musgraves song called Christmas Always Makes Me Cry that you should listen to.
Maybe I could handle listening to that in like April.
Yeah. I mean, that's like sometimes as a musician, you're like, oh, it like Easter's done and Christmas starts. Like that's like, you're
right.
Like, I've been doing Christmas music literally since September.
Oh, yeah.
Wild. And you're like, I just, by the time you hit Christmas, you're like, I am... Da 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 da.
I watched those like Bon Appetit YouTube videos,
yep.
And they came out with like this. They did like a thanks, like making the perfect Thanksgiving dinner thing, and they were like they were making they filmed the video in July.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were like, we've been thinking about Thanksgiving food since like we start thinking about Thanksgiving in July. So by the time it gets to be Thanksgiving, we've had so much mashed potatoes. We've eaten so much turkey. We're so sick of it.
Well, and like, I mean, in July, usually no one wants to be eating a lot of heavy food.
Yeah, no, you want to be eating like gazpacho in July.
Yeah. And so like, to be like, here's this like winter feast I've made. Yeah. In July.
So that we can all hunker down and enjoy the warmth of the oven.
Yes.
No. So I know that this week we want to talk about dating because Valentine's Day is upon us.
Yes.
But something that we talked about with our dear friend Amber was a holiday secret. Do we want to talk about our holiday secrets?
Y'all can go ahead and go first, because...
Do you not make one?
Because the secret's out. I don't remember making one at all. I kind of just lived my life, which is good. I mean, yes,
you
know, but...
But you lived it in secret.
In secret. Yes.
I tried to learn a language.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I started learning Swedish. I didn't get very far, but I did try and I didn't tell anyone.
Nice.
Like I didn't tell you.
No.
Yeah.
You really need to know is hey, 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 doa, and talk. Those are like,
yeah, it's
toximiket.
Yeah. Toximiket is, but I also, I have like, Joa tolar inte svenska, which is I do not speak Swedish.
Uh-huh.
I know how to say that I am eating a variety of things. I can identify certain animals.
Yeah, a smorgasbord, nice. If you will.
It's a sandwich. Which, like, what?
What?
It's a sandwich.
A smorgasbord?
Yeah.
That's it?
I mean, well, it depends. Like, yes, there's also, like, it can mean a communal, like, meal, essentially.
A communal sandwich.
Yes. I mean, yes. So sandwich. That's where all those, like, 20-foot-long subs come in.
Yes. Yes.
The party.
The Joel Deli counter is so very Swedish.
The party sub was originated in Sweden.
Yeah. I will say, as someone who's been to Sweden a few times, what inevitably happens is they look at me, they start speaking in Swedish, I smile, and they like flip into a perfectly Americanized English accent, or Americanized like English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, hi, like it blows my mind how everyone there
speaks English.
Not only speaks English, but like very much American English.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, cause they teach like, they, like, hit it hard in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, if you go to Sweden, I mean, like, knowing some Swedish is good, but, like, you kind of don't need
you, truly, when I went to Turkey, Istanbul was the first time I had traveled somewhere where there weren't a lot of people around who spoke English.
Okay.
And it was also where my phone broke.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know how to get anywhere, and I can't ask anyone.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, this is clearly my problem. Like, it wasn't like a, but I was like, I also have never felt so helpless in my life. And I was like walking in the rain and went into the first museum I could find, because I was like, I know someone at a museum will speak English.
Right.
Right.
And, like, have them help me call Verizon to get my phone fixed. So.
Oh, my Jesus. God.
Yada-da-da-da-da.
I like the added detail. I was walking in the rain. I was walking in the Turkish rain.
Really. And it was, like, it was March, so it wasn't cold, but it was like a cold, like that kind of like cold rain.
Like wet,
you know what
cold.
I mean?
Like,
yes.
And I just was like I felt like a Peanuts character. Like, man. My secret was that I applied for an MFA.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm not, well, okay. Real talk. I am behind on my taxes, which meant I couldn't get my FAFSA done, and I hadn't done that math, so I cannot go next year. But I'm doing the audition, and Boston Conservatory is starting an MFA in musical theater vocal pedagogy.
Oh, wow!
So I'm gonna go do the audition, and if I get in, I'm gonna ask for a deferment so I can get my life together to go do that.
Wow!
Yeah.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
Shit. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So, and it feels like a very, like, I found out that the program had been started, and, like, the application was due in 3 days, and I managed to get everyone to write me recommendations and everything in 3 days, and then it was, like, time to fill out FAFSA, and I, like, had a full-on panic attack, and then I was like, okay, I can get some of my taxes done. Like, the problem, oh, God, being an independent contractor in taxes is just the worst.
I am so not looking forward to any of that.
Do you see, the problem is I don't even get checks. Like,
I get paid on Venmo.
Yeah. So there's like a lot. Yes. It's like, there's like a lot of like moving pieces that you have to reconstruct. And I have a wonderful accountant who knows how much it stresses me out. And he does things like ask me, you want me to file you an extension? And I'm like, yes, please. And now I'm like, the day of reckoning has come, because I can't do this until I get all of that shit done.
Right.
So, yes. So I'm going to go do the audition. We'll see what happens. And either way, I'm not leaving next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that was my secret. So I applied for an MFA.
Wow.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations.
That's huge.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, and Kita didn't have a secret.
I mean, here's the thing.
Because she lives her life honestly.
That's the thing. Like, I have things that I've done. I just, like, but I just tell people, because sometimes I need help doing the thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, for example, I have, like, a personal goal for 2020 to kind of redo my apartment. Because I'm going to be living here for another year. And it's getting old. So I want to make it look a little, at least what furniture-wise, like this couch I'm sitting on is like ripped right up the middle.
Well, and the nice thing about that, like if you get a couch that fits that space, it'll fit whatever space you go into.
Exactly.
Next.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I want to like redo my like office so it feels more like not just a storage unit that I can sit and do makeup and like art things in, but like I can actually do art things with function in.
Yeah.
And then I guess like my other kind of secret, well not really, I don't know, is that like I applied for this Cannes diversity thing. And if I get in, I get to go to Cannes for a week.
Oh, you're going to go to the south of France?
Hope so.
You're just going to go to the
I fucking hope so.
I mean, as someone who's been to Nice, it is unbelievable. It is gorgeous. I haven't been to Cannes, but I've been to, like, a relatively near city, and it was gorgeous.
Sorry. I'm just
you just basked in yourself.
When is So I think the Cannes Festival happens in June 20 something.
I mean, that is prime beach time.
Yes, and like I know that like all the advertising people are like all about like their frosé and their yacht parties and their beach parties.
Oh my god!
And so I
want to be all about that.
Oh,
how
yeah.
do I invite myself?
So
to this
I was
party?
Like, I'm going to like learn things. You know, for the industry people are like, oh my god, what? Like, yes, I want to learn things. I want to infiltrate with my fat black ass amongst all the white men, and I'm gonna be like, hi, I'm here. How are you? I'm tiny. I'm a little mid level amongst all you ECD people. What's up? I belong here too. And then also not really crash, but go to a yacht party that I can actually go to and then just hide in my hotel when I for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
That's exactly my plan. If I get in, please accept me. Thank you.
And then just like eat croissants.
All week.
Eat so much pastry.
Oh yes.
Because the first time I went to Nice was before I was not allowed to eat gluten anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get, like, a baguette with camembert and tomato for, like, €3 anywhere.
Oh.
It is a delight.
That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Well, shit, y'all. It sounds like we had mediocre holidays, but are interesting people.
Yeah.
I also feel like, I mean, this time of year is just so hard. Like, today's great, but, like, we have had a string of weird weather in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
That has been, like, seasonal affective disorder has hit.
Oh, God.
Right? Like, where I was like, oh, I've been in my house for 3 days. I need to leave. like, and it's not, like, depression. It's, like, really, for me, it's, like, if it's dark and it's, like, blah out, I just feel that way.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of feeling blah and hating it, let's talk about dating.
Dating.
Well, so we wanted to talk about dating because we're coming up on Valentine's Day. And, but it's not like, I don't know, as someone who was like single, I was single until I was 25. I was 25 when I had, like, my first... I had some, like, flings here and there, mm-hmm. but my first relationship was when I was 25. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Valentine's Day, I was always like, ugh. And I'm still kind of like, ugh. Because, mm-hmm. like, financially, I've never really recovered from missing work around the holidays.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I can never really do anything, but there's always so much pressure to do something. And I fucking hate it.
Mm. Even when I have been in relationships, I've never had a real, like, Valentine's Day date. Like, one of my last relationships, well, not last, but, like, this guy I dated once on Valentine's Day, he's like, we're going to do something tomorrow. And then at 9 p.m. on Valentine's Day, he sent me a message that was like, I mean, do you even, like, celebrate this day?
Jesus fucking Christ.
What?
And I was like,
men are shit.
I mean, and, like, and then, like, Merritt and I, when I dated Merritt, like, he was in Turkey on Valentine's Day, and I was here, and, like, he actually planned, like, a Valentine's Day date for when I got to Turkey to see him, but, like, there was just, like, a lot of stuff where, like, in relationships, I've always never had a Valentine's Day. And do I think Valentine's Day is stupid? Yes. But I do I like in as much as like, you know, it's a kind of a made up holiday. Right. Also, if you're in a relationship with someone, do something.
So, yeah. So Valentine's Day. We have no plans for Valentine's. I asked him the other day, I was like, what should we do for Valentine's Day? And he was like, I don't know.
And you guys are also at a point in a relationship where that is sort of a normal response.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, we should probably do something, but I just don't know. And I'm like, yeah, man, same. Like, I don't know. Let's just, like, go out to eat or something. Or maybe we don't. Maybe we just hang out.
Right? One thing I always, when I'm in relationships with people, I'm always like, I want you to plan something. Because inevitably, I plan 85% of our things.
Oh, no, that's my life. Sorry, man.
And I'm like, this is the gift. For this one day, you plan something for me.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That does sound
like,
nice.
And I will say, that guy who was like, but do you even celebrate Valentine's Day? He ended up figuring that out and planned me a really lovely birthday surprise in April. Because nice. Okay. I was like, you fucked up, sir. You fucked up hard. Right.
No, I, that actually sounds nice because, like, yeah, I pretty much plan everything in my relationship. But that's just because that's the kind of person I am. Like, if you'll recall, like, one of our first episodes, I think it was like a third episode, was recorded on April 12th, which was the day of my quote-unquote surprise birthday party. Which I...
Good time.
Which I figured out and then stressed out about for a week. Yeah. I was so stressed out about it because I didn't have control over it. So, I mean, like, the fact that I do plan most of the stuff in my relationship is kind of by design because that's just the kind of person I am.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't know if I want, part of me is like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if he planned something for me? But at the same time, like, I think I would ruin it.
Oh. That's funny.
If you want something done right, you do it yourself.
If I plan this correctly, can I just re-plan it right now?
I think I would just do it and be like, I'm sorry, like, yeah. I'm sorry, this is just not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Well, can we talk a little bit about online dating as a fat person?
Yeah.
Because that is a whole other thing.
Did you ever do it?
I did it in college.
Okay.
And I did it a little bit when I moved here. And I hated it.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
It's a trash heap.
I did it for like a month in college, and I went on a date with this guy who, he was like, so I got no messages except for this one guy who was like the most boring man in the world. And like, I was like trying to, we hung out around the holidays. And so he was like, so what are you doing for the holidays? And I was like, well, every year we go see It's a Wonderful Life in theaters. And he was like, what's that? I'm like, It's a Wonderful Life. I was like, it's like the Christmas movie. And he's like, oh, well, I'm Jewish.
Oh geez.
So like, I don't know. And I'm like, why are you
being like that?
Why are you being so weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, great. I don't know. It was just kind of like that energy for the whole date.
Eek.
And then we never talked again. And then when I was here, when I first moved to Chicago, I online dated for a little bit and got some weird messages. Like I got this message from this guy where his bio was, I'm just looking for someone to murder.
Can we not?
Like, anytime I see a dude holding a gun or a knife, I'm like, no! What are you doing? Like, okay, there's a real statistic. This came out years ago, and I have a feeling it shifted because, I will talk about this in a little bit, but, like, there was a statistic that came out, like, 4 or 5 years ago that, like, men's greatest fear when they go on a date from online dating is that she's going to be fatter than she looked in her pictures.
Ugh.
Correct? Women's greatest fear is that they're going to be murdered.
Literally murdered.
Literally murdered. So, like, if you fucking put up a picture on your OkCupid or Tinder or whatever holding guns,
guess what?
That does not quell my fear of ending up in a hefty bag at the end of a date.
Right.
No, it's a whole... Ugh. So he was like, hey, what's up? And I was like,
nope.
Not happening. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, dude. Yeah. I'm not going to be the girl you're going to murder.
Right.
He's like, it's a joke. And I'm like, is it?
Yeah, right.
Is it a joke? I don't think so. Jesse, I know that you have like kind of a... You have chronicled your online dating experiences.
Oh, it is something, y'all. I wish someone once was like, you should do a podcast solely about your dating life. It was like, we would never ever want that. Online dating is a fuckstorm. But like, I don't know, where do you meet real people these days? Like, it's just not like, that's like the option, right?
Yeah.
I get a lot of really particular messages. I get a lot of, don't worry, I like your curves. Don't worry, I like your body. And I'm like...
I'm not worried, bitch.
I'm not... Exactly. I'm like, that's an... And like, here's the thing. Me being me, this is the Aries Taurus cusp in me, right? Where I'm like, I can't just like unmatch. I have to be like, that is unacceptable.
Yes.
I can't just like be like, unmatch and like walk away from it. I have to be like, you should not be doing this.
Oy.
So that has been a problem of men. Like, I don't think... Like, I don't know why men feel the need to comment on their opinion of a woman's right away.
Like, I don't exist to make you happy, bro.
Exactly. And, you know, I broke up with someone this week, and I just kind of am like so frustrated by behaviors I see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lack of kindness, a lack of like so many men who are like, I'm just really busy. And I'm like, what are you busy with? Do you teach 14 hours a day like I do? No? Oh, great. Can you still manage to make relationship time work even though you're teaching a 14 hour day? Like, no? Oh, like this is going to sound like me men bashing. I'm really not trying to. It's just that I've had a string of dudes in a row who are like, I'm just so busy. And they're like, I work 9 to 5. And then I go, and I'm like, yo, you watching The Circle isn't busyness. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me The Circle. This is not against The Circle. It is not, like, that is not an activity that is draining you.
Yeah, right.
No.
And even still, like, I people that use, like, the 9 to 5 excuse, because guess what? I live that life, and I also do a million things outside of work, too.
Right.
And I still find time for friends, and I still find time for my boyfriend, who is on the other side of the city than me. So what?
It's categorically not caring about someone else's time and thinking your time is more valuable, right? Like, and, like, I'm like, I assure you, my time is more valuable than yours. But, like, so I'm kind of in this, like, burn it down. But I did have a really great date Friday night.
Yay!
But he lives in Vancouver, so...
Oh, right. Shit.
Yes. But it was the date was a great date. Like, and I kind of had this moment where I was like, this... restores my faith in dating. Mm-hmm. Like, even though this can't be a thing, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, this moment has been a lovely moment.
Yes.
And I feel like there are really lovely people out there to be found, even on the worldwide interwebs.
Yeah.
Yes. Online dating. I will say, if anyone has looked at my Instagram, sometimes I do post... the worst offenders on my Instagram.
It's pretty heinous when you do that.
Yeah. It's like, I actually have like, I don't do it often anymore. Like, there was one guy recently who did something and I almost posted it. And then I was like, nope, we're not going to invite that. But like, when I do it, it's usually because they've been particularly terrible. And it's like a warning. Really, I started doing it as a warning to other women.
Right.
Because, like, you know, if they're saying this to me, either they're saying this to other people as well. And, like, you should just know to swipe left.
Right.
Or they don't talk that way to thin women and they should know that their fat friends are being talked to that way.
Yeah.
And, like, I do think there is this weird thing that has happened, though. So I am 39 years of age, and I almost always get 27-year-olds knocking on my door. And I really think it's because that 12 years, there's been a cultural shift in how men are attracted to fat bodies.
Yeah.
Because there just were more bodies represented in their youth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So men my age don't message me. It's like 27-year-olds. And I'm just like, oh, we don't have life stuff in common, 27-year-old. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm sorry.
We're just in different places. Doesn't mean I don't take advantage of their 27-year-oldness in other ways.
Good.
Yes.
Damn. Yeah. No, I count myself lucky because the relationship I'm in now with Daniel, I met him in real life.
Yeah.
I met him at work, which is, like, honestly, I think it's, like, the only place to meet people other than, like, at a bar.
That's fair.
But, like, I don't even know people who meet people at bars anymore.
No. No, I mean,
everybody's meeting people at bars that they met online to meet at the bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, no one really goes to bars to pick people up anymore because everyone's on dates, like Tinder dates.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, pick someone up off of the dregs of a bad Tinder date.
I want nothing more than someone to yenta me. Like, to be like, here, matchmaker, you, like, someone needs to, like, just be like, I think you two.
Somebody was telling me that there's a thing like that now, where there's, like, a matchmaker, like, kind of app thing where, like, you can pay somebody to, like, figure out, like, who matches with you. And if you, like, want to do, like, a club membership or whatever, you get, like, a certain amount of dates a month.
I have to look it up. It's Talkify.
Yes.
It's like $1,000.
Yeah.
I don't have $1,000 to give someone
I'd rather stay single. Yeah.
You'd rather stay single.
I just want to, like, someone out of the goodness of your heart. Production of Fiddler where someone I know does this for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Well, something else that I think is important that we talk about is, like, within a relationship, like, what are the best ways that we've found to communicate what we as fat women need? So, like, for example, like, you know, with sex, that's a whole other conversation. But, like, within, like, you know, like, you two are exploring a city together. And let's say that your boyfriend, like, if someone that you're in a relationship with, you know, not necessarily a boyfriend, but someone that you're in a relationship with is smaller than you and is more able-bodied than you, like, how do you communicate to that person, like, hey, I know that you want to walk, you know, 14 miles today, but that's just not something I'm able to do.
That has been my only situation is that, like, all of the long-term relationships I've had have been with, like, very fit, very active men. And they'll, like, want to do stuff like that. I'm like, I can't walk as fast as you, and we're on cobblestone, and I have a connective tissue disorder. We have, like, a lot of things against us. I've just gotten good about saying, I need to take a lift there, or I need to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Or if we're, like, walking into a restaurant and, like, he wants to sit in a booth, I'm like, we're sitting at a table. Like, I just,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah,
like,
just take the reins.
Yeah.
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 Sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm, like, thinking about, like, all the things me and Mac do, and I think just, like, he kind of just asks me out of courtesy. You know, I don't have to really assert myself often, which is really nice.
Yeah.
I think it's more in the vein of, like, maybe sometimes you'll park a little bit further than necessary, and it'll be like, oh, fuck. Like, now I've got to, like, I just remember this, like, one time where we parked somewhere because he knew it was free, where I would just rather, like, pay the $5 to park, like, at the venue. So we ended up walking, like, for 15 minutes up a flight of, like, stairs over. God. Yeah, and it was just like, oh, and we had to, like, lift back to his car because that's how far we walked. And it wasn't, like, a, like, you know, thing out of malice or anything because I had no idea where we were going.
Right.
But, like, other than that, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of blanking right now, which I guess is more of a good thing than not.
I mean, I definitely think it's a good thing because it means that, like, you know, that you, first of all, communicate. Because I think the key, honestly, is communicating early on.
Yeah. Right?
It's just, like, getting it out of the way. Because, like, if you're, like, a year in and, like, there's something, like, continually going on and something that is, like, continually happening and you're not talking about it, like...
Right.
That's not...
It's also interesting. Like, I'm of an age that if I'm dating a person, I'm probably not the first fat person they've dated. Right? Like...
Right.
Like, also there is that thing where I sort of... And this is... primarily in regards to sex, but it kind of seeps into what ends up being relationships. I don't want to be someone's first, and I don't want to be someone's fetish.
Mm. Oh, God.
Right? So, like, but it means that often the people I've been with have been with bigger people before in some capacity. And that ends up, like, I'll be honest, like, the last three or four relationships I've had, it started as a hookup and turned into a relationship, right? Like, like, it morphed from one thing into another. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was an understanding that this is not the first time you've been around someone who might have different needs for their body, right? But then also there's, like, that added factor of, like, what are my individual needs for my body?
Right. So the two flings and in the one relationship I've had, I am the first fat person that they have been with. Yeah. That is the thing that strings those three occurrences together is that I'm the first fat person that they had ever been with. And honestly, because I was feeling very insecure, I made a bigger deal out of it than they did. And I think that that's more common than, like, I think that not more common. I think that that's probably common that, like, if you are a fat person and you are with someone who is smaller and it is the first fat person that they have been with, that likely there's going to be some sort of, like, learning curve on their part, but, like, likely, like, if they're in it and they're there with you, like, they've pretty much gotten over it.
Right.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
At any sort of, like, misgiving, it's not like you're going to take it through. It's not like you're going to take your shirt off and they're going to be like, hey, wait a minute, you're fat. Like,
right.
It's like, I think that it's a thing that, like, if they're there in the room with you, or, like, if they're there at the restaurant with you, or, like, you're on your second or third date, or it's like, they know you're fat.
Right. I will say for myself, like, I love communicating stuff in text form. I think especially, like, where sex is involved, because, like, it's easier for me to say, hey, this is what I like, and these are things I need you to be mindful of before we get to the moment where we're both naked.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would rather give you a playbook.
Yeah. That you can, like, think over.
Yes. And that, because then we have a, there's not as steep of a learning curve when you get to the actual activity, right? You've, like, communicated, this is what I like, this is what I need. These are the things that are hard for my, like, for me, like, I have, like, weirdly inverted hips. And mm-hmm. so, like, I just know that about my body. And so I say, this is hard. It's not that it's impossible, but, like, you would need to be patient for this or this.
Exactly.
And then it's just, like, good to go when we get in that moment. Mm-hmm. But also there's, like, you know, conversations that I usually have before we even got into the date about, like, have you dated a fat person? Have you experienced what that's like? And, like, sometimes, you know, I shouldn't say, the thing about first is, I mean, I don't want to be an experiment. I'll gladly be someone's first if I'm not, if I don't feel like I am, like, just being utilized as an experiment.
Yeah, yes. Like, I think I'll dip my toe in the pool of fat people.
Yes.
In the fat sea.
Yeah. I mean, I want us to do that photo shoot.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's different, right? Like, I don't mind being someone's first if it's a genuine interest and attraction. It's like, if you're just curious about what it's like to sleep with a fat person, mm-hmm. I don't have.
No, I'm good.
I also have had this historically, this really weird thing in my life where ever since puberty, everybody stares at me. Girls, boys, I just can't help it, baby. am I quoting right? Yes. Sorry. Yeah. My brain just
Are
like...
Are you asking me a Maureen?
Yep. No, that, like, I have been hypersexualized my whole life. Like, and so it is sometimes hard when you're, like, I'm actually in a place right now where I'm actively wanting to be in a relationship.
Right.
That's not always true. Like, you know, like, but for right now, I'm, like, actively looking for it. And all that presents itself is, like, hookups.
Yeah.
And that and whatnot. And so that is frustrating, especially when you think you're going to date someone and then they turn out to be a trash human. Luckily, I caught it quickly. I was like, bye. No.
Mm-hmm. I remember being 13. This one, you mentioned being hypersexualized since you were like 13. And like, I remember being, around 13 or 14. And I was at a baseball game with my friend. And my friend, she was very petite. She developed very early. She had like big boobs. You know, she had like this perfect hourglass shape at the age of 12. And she was like always getting hit on by all these older men. It was
fucking disgusting.
Yeah. And I was with her once. We were at a baseball game. And she would sometimes kind of like mess with them and like lean into it and then be like, bye. Like, it was, you know, whatever. She chose to do that. And that's her call. We were hanging out with these guys that in my head I was like, they're adults. Why am I here?
Yeah.
This guy looked at me and I'm 13 and he goes, so what do you say? Horizontal mambo? And I was like, I have to leave now.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go do my homework because I'm an 8th
First
grade.
Of all, any adult that calls it the horizontal mambo needs to be locked up. Yeah. Need to be locked up for other reasons, but no.
Yeah. No, and like, saying that out loud, I'm like, oh yeah, that was bad for lots of reasons. Being hypersexualized is like a fat kid.
Is
horrible.
And I have to say, there was a lot of unpacking that had to happen in my 20s because of that.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I essentially was 5'7 and a CD cup by the time I was 10.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, this height and, like, a woman's body by the time I was 10. And so I would, like, go out in the world and men would treat me grossly. Like, not even, we're not talking about like men like innocently flirting with someone, like,
no,
it
yeah.
was
gross,
like hyper sexualization
fucking,
and it seems to be a plague in online dating as well.
It's because men feel like they don't have to be held accountable because it's all
on the worldwide interwebs.
Exactly. Like, they, you know, it could, you know, it's interesting that you brought up the circle earlier, because like, there's that whole element of the circle where it's like people are catfishing.
Yes.
Like, I mean, for all we know, it's not even that person that's talking to us on this app.
Right.
Like,
right.
It could be anyone. And because of that, because it's the wild west of personal interactions, it could be you. you could say that you're going to torch bomb their house, you know, or whatever. Like, it's, right. And there would be, you know, I'm sure that there's some level of accountability. Like, you could report that person, but like, there's way less than if you were to like look someone in the eye and be like, I'm going to torch bomb your house. And it's like, cool, well, that's your face. And like, yeah. I now know some stuff about you. So like, have fun dealing with the ramifications of that weird threat.
Right. Oh, yeah. Totally. And I, like, sometimes I, if I know I'm going to hook up with someone, I take, I screenshot their photos, I screenshot the number they gave me, and I send it to my best friend. Yeah. Where I'm like, hey, this person, I'm hooking up with this person. Let's hope I don't get murdered.
Right. Oh, my God. Holy shit.
Good.
Yeah, I just think it's, like, I think it's just all fraud. Like, it's just, it's, I mean, I think that online dating is hard, but I think that for, because fat women, like, our personhood is not taken into account, and because we're, like, we're either seen as, like, having thick skin and being able to take it.
Right.
Or, like, oh, well, you know, who cares because, you know, they're not, like, oh, they're not people, they're, you know, they're jokes or whatever. Ugh. It's, like, it's... Because our personhood isn't taken into account, like, people feel like they can say whatever they want to us.
Oh, and, yes.
And it's like, no, man.
Right. I once had a guy ask me about, like, what's the worst thing anyone has ever said to you on here? And I said, you don't want to know. He's like, no, I really do. I'm going to, like, trigger warning right now. Yes?
Yep.
The worst thing someone has said to me on an online dating platform was, I want to get a few of my friends and rail through you because you're a monster and all you're good for is fucking.
Gee. Oh my God.
That was like the opening message.
So sorry.
That's horrific.
Yeah. And yet, what does it say that I am still on these apps? Because there's like no other viable option.
Yeah.
Like, that is the issue, is like, it's, yes, that's horrific. And if it was any other thing, I would have been like, and I did delete everything for like a solid 6 weeks after that. Because I was like, I just need a little break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Big fair.
Fucking yikes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the fucking worst. People are so cruel.
I also think there's just that thing, too, that there's still people who are resentful of their attraction to fat women.
Yeah. Like, it's like, all internal, for me, at least to me, like, it's, I think it's just all internalized shit that they just can't grapple with.
Yes.
And so they have to take it out on other people.
Yes.
Or, like, put down the said people that, like, they are attracted to, be like, yeah, see, no, I'm not attracted to you because right. I can put you down like this. It's like, no, you're going to end up just, like, fucking people in the closet, and, like, they don't deserve that.
Also, I just don't want to be your secret.
Exactly. Right, like, right. Yeah.
Like, there was a guy I was hooking up with for a little while, and I realized, A, I had talked to his dog more than I had talked to him, and B, like, I, like, had this moment, he's, like, very attractive. He's a very attractive man. And I was like, you wouldn't take me out in public. And I was like, there's always this weird fine line sometimes between what I feel like I have control over, like, that's not what I want from you either, so, like, it's fine, versus being like, I also hate feeling like I'm somehow this utilitarian exercise for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, dating.
Dating.
Someone yenta me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, seriously, if someone out there is like in a yenta mood.
Yeah, set me up. I will go on that date.
That'd be fun.
Yes.
Well, I think that that's about all we have to say on the matter. If anybody, and like, this goes for every episode ever that we record, if ever you have additional questions, or like, you're like, ah, damn it, I wish that they had talked about this, like, please feel free to email us.
Yes.
Or DM us. You can reach out to us individually. on mm-hmm. on
all of our handles on, are in the Insta page. Mm-hmm. Don't be weird.
Yeah, don't be weird. That's the only thing. It's like don't be weird. We're nice people. We're normal people. We want to be treated with respect. You know, if you have a question, shoot us a question. But yeah, just be nice. Just can't believe I have to say that. Yeah. Just be nice.
We got tender little hearts, y'all.
Yeah, man. No, like, I think that the three of us have just like all had weird weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a weird day to like go back to recording because I actually like this week particularly has just been a brutal week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. No, yeah.
Yeah. I think the message I sent you guys was like, just if I start crying, we just all need to know I start crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We acknowledge it. We see it. We know why.
No, I was talking to my boyfriend yesterday and he was like, oh, I'm so glad. Like with the week you've had, I'm so glad that you get a break tomorrow. And I was like, I don't.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, it'll be fine. We'll be great.
Yes.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yay.
Bye, podcast baby.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at
Fat Chat Posse.
You can find us on Facebook at
Fat Chat.
And you can shoot us an email at heyitsfatchat@gmail.com. Thanks so much for fatting with us.